You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the equine network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek coming to you from Ocala, Florida.
I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, May 8th, episode 3946, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horsey people.
Well, everybody, thank you for joining us today. Roxanne Durant of the Interscholastic Equestrian Association, that word gets me every time, IEA, joins us to talk about how far they've come with the association and what they're up to now.
Why do you have Roxanne on?
We have Roxanne on because she's also a fellow nominee for the Equine Industry Vision Award that will be awarded next week.
It's Glenn sizing up his competition.
That's right. Plus, we have some historical news and some sad news, and we have really bad ads to end the show. Auditors, hang on in the post show. We have some very random Friday chat, including PayPal and some discussion about spam. So that's coming up in the auditor post show. You want to start with the sad news?
Well, I mean, it's sad, but like not sad, depending on how you are.
Because it's sad if you run the Preakness and the Belmont, if you're the organizers.
Yeah, that's definitely sad that way. So Golden Tempo is going to be skipping the Preakness. And what is nice about it is, you know, it just continues to be this fantastic display of good horsemanship by the trainer, Sherry DeVoe. She's like, you know, I was watching some interviews before and they were like, we have been training for the Derby. We have been training to get him tip top at the Derby. And she feels like that wasn't part of the plan. The Preakness was never part of the plan. So they haven't been training him.
I don't think she really planned on winning the Derby.
You know, it's interesting. I've heard trainers that have been interviewed afterwards, like the last one who won like 80-1. It's like, did you think you'd win? He's like, I wouldn't have entered if I didn't think I was going to win. Yeah, like, yeah. Super douchey about the whole thing. Of course I thought I was going to win. You know, and she was like, it was really cool. It was super honest. I'm just happy to be here. This is crazy. Like, I didn't think you would win. I can't believe it. You know, because she didn't have, like, the super big points. She just, this horse, Golden Tempo, just barely qualified, you know, and then to win it. And then to show the horsemanship of, like, you know what? He's not going to be ready in 2 weeks. Plus, he's actually a little bit more of a distance runner, so the Belmont sets up better. Because if you think about it, if the Kentucky Derby was,
right?
Yes, yeah, okay. It's a mile and I think 3/16. So, like, it's shorter than the Derby. And so, if it was shorter, he would not have he wouldn't have won.
When you're coming from last place in races, you need track.
You need some space.
And he worked hard. I mean, he worked hard. I mean, to come from last place to win the thing the way he did, that puts out some energy.
Well, it'll be interesting because I'm pretty sure our wonderful friend Caldera, he's four. Crap. He's going to be on the card.
They did say our horse Caldera would be running again in a, super claimer or something? I don't know. I don't understand it, but they're targeting him for the next race, so.
Okay, well, we'll see. But, I was ready for it. But, I mean, maybe, I guess, is he three or is he four, Glenn? I think he's three this year. I can't remember.
I can't remember either. Anyway, so it's very sad, though, because I guarantee you they don't get the people watching or caring in the Preakness or Belmont if there's no Triple Crown.
You know, I would say that, yeah. But just the fact that people care at all and about horses, 22 to 3 to 4 to 5, days. Yeah, he's 4 now, so, you know, it's out. I'm not going to be in the Preakness. I'm stupid.
All right, so let's go on, but I want to change gears before we get to Daily Winnies completely. And, you know, we've been working on, and this is our last show we're recording together for May. We have a whole, because, you know, I got the conference next week, and then we're going on the Horse Lovers Cruise, and Jamie has like 85 horses all of a sudden to work, which she swore she'd never do again.
But it's crazy. I got a new one in yesterday. We'll talk about.
But one of the things we've been doing, obviously, is getting ready for, we've been recording a whole bunch of new episodes for you. So unlike other times when we went away, this is going to be new content for you. I have one best of. I put one best of together, two best ofs, actually. I put one best of together of Leslie's classic moments on the show.
I
went back into the archives, you know, the Lady Martha one and her Mongol Derby one, because a lot of new listeners have not heard those classics.
Yeah.
So I put them all in one episode. So
cool.
That one, I think we're going to get the best numbers of them all. But I also went back and dug out another one from the beginning. And there was something that popped up that I don't think you will remember. And it's something that we thought about actually using as our opener. And this was recorded by the guy who did all the music in the stadium at the World Equestrian Games in 2010 in Lexington. He was the composer of all the music. They had their own music done for the opening ceremony, closing, all that stuff. And while I was sitting in a tent with him and Dr. Lyons at the Alltech, he said, "I'll write you a song and we'll all sing it," because he had some of his group there. And this, keep in mind, is before Horses in the Morning officially started. And this is what they came up with in a tent at the World Equestrian Games.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Horses are coming my way. You're listening to Horses in the Morning.
There you go.
Do you know the extreme irony of that?
No.
Do you know what that song is from?
Yeah, it's from, remind me, I know the song, but
it's from a play. Do you know what play that is from?
No.
Maybe nobody else thinks it's as ironic as I do, but that's from the play Oklahoma.
That's it. That's it. That's right. That's correct.
I first heard that, I'm like, why the hell would it be like, and here I am in freaking Oklahoma.
I hadn't talked to you yet, had I, during
that? No. And I lived in Arizona. The whole thing is crazy. It's crazy.
And it's just so funny because that happened so spur of the moment. We're just sitting there talking, and Dr. Lyons is asking us what's next. And I said, we're going to start this daily show. And we have a special coming up on Dr. Lyons during this break, too. That's very special because without him, none of this would have happened. None of the World Equestrian Games in 2010 wouldn't have happened. But we're talking, and this conductor guy was sitting there and said, "I'll write you a song." And I didn't say to use Oklahoma because I didn't know you were. That's just ironic.
Yeah, that's just what's so weird. Anyway, I just thought that was crazy.
All right, there you go. It was cute, though.
Yeah.
I think we didn't use it because we thought we'd have rights violations. So, all right, Daily Winnie time.
From the podcast to the barn. Here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm.
We have several auditor birthdays this weekend. Avery M., Rachel B., Abby B., and Rosie J., plus our friend Scott and photographer Scott Trees, who you heard on the show recently. Happy birthday to all of you. We hope you have a terrific weekend.
So I have a couple of Daily Winnies, and then I have a question for you. First of all, I would like to thank Taylor, who works at Equibase, and also Karen, who works at Stonerside Farms, which is a Godolphin Darley farm up in Paris, Kentucky. Both of them separately, without any prompting, decided to do a lot of research on my new racehorse. His registered name is Gradar, but his barn name is Tito Bandito Dorito. Okay, so obviously. So they did some work and found out where his mom is. Oh, he was born at TaylorMade Farm. His mother is owned by by some clients of TaylorMade, but he was actually foaled out at TaylorMade. His dad lives there, and just really cool. And she actually now has talked to them and told them that I have him, and they're so excited that he's in a good place. So just like the coolest connections that you can make between Karen and Taylor, both having Kentucky racehorse access. So I do really appreciate it. Now I have a question for them and a question for you, Glenn.
Okay.
All right. Do you have a pen?
Yes.
Okay, write this down.
Okay.
S-T-U-D-E-N-Y.
Studeny? Studeny? Studeny?
Studeny? Now you see what my problem is.
What's
I
that?
Just got this horse in training and I have no idea how to say his name. Is it Studeny? Is it Studeny? Is it Studeny? Like, I don't know what to do. Like,
stud.
I need Larry Kalmus. I need Larry Kalmus to read this name and tell me how to pronounce it.
Just call him Stud. You're for short.
Well, you know what's funny is it could be Studeny, it could be Studeny, Studeny. No, I'm not going to call him anything. However, yesterday I put him in the barn. He just arrived, and so he was outside, and I brought him in and put him next to a horse. And he, one of the questions I asked Taylor, I was like, "Can you tell me when he was castrated?" Because it seems like it was recent. So we'll see how. And now, so just Studeny it is. So we'll see. He's just pretty as a picture. He's Kentucky bred and only raced. This is crazy to have this horse in Oklahoma. He raced at Churchill and Oaklawn.
Oh, wow.
And he sold for like $70,000 as a yearling in Kentucky, born in Kentucky. So I'm learning all about him, too. He's one that I just got in training. And, you know, I get a lot of Oklahoma breds, but not a whole lot of Kentucky breds with this. He was by Frosted, who just passed away. Like, it's a whole really cool bloodline. So I just don't know how to say his name. So if anybody knows,
I think
let me
know. Need to put an X in front of it now anyway. So it's X Studeny.
X. Well, hopefully it's X and there's not something still stuck up in there.
Something happened here, Jamie, at the farm yesterday that we never thought we would see in a million years, at least till the day I die, is when we moved out here, we're far. We're 30 minutes out in the middle of nowhere. We live beside a national or state forest that's 70,000 acres. Well, 2,500 acres less now. But, you know, it's a big state forest. It takes us a half an hour to go to a grocery store. So we never thought we would see anything remotely resembling fiber internet. And right now, I'm talking to you. We're using Verizon's 5G off the tower. Is how we
you were before using Starlink,
yeah.
Which was good until the spaceship left.
we Starlink was great until they got too many Starlink users. And remember, we used to break up all the time doing the show.
Yeah.
And actually, Verizon's been better, but it's not perfect. We had trouble 2 days ago recording the show. So yesterday, there was this trench digger in front of our house putting fiber cable.
Yay!
I called them and Jennifer came home. They handed her a card. I called within 2 seconds getting in the house. And I said, I know they're just running their lines. So it's probably going to be what? December?
Well, they told us years. And what I did was I just went to the website and every day requested it. So just go on their website every day.
I called yesterday
annoying.
And got the nicest lady. This is a tiny little fiber company. I think this was one of those government projects to get fiber out to the rural places. And that's where they got the money to run the line.
All you poor people in the sticks.
Yeah. And usually, like, my brother had fiber run to his house. He has a farm like ours, and he sits back off the road. It cost him $3,000 to have the line run to the house.
Oh, gosh.
So I was expecting that. And she's like, how far is your house from the road? And I said, 300 feet. She said, it'll be $99 to trench it and run the line. I went, sign
Sold.
Me up now today.
Yeah.
Plus, a gigabyte service is less than I'm paying for Verizon for a lot less. So I'm telling you what, we are going to be humming here. And then the other thing she said is, no, we're only 4 to 6 weeks till we can hook you up. I was like, put me on the list. Please take my money. Here's my credit card. I don't care. Just get me fiber. I'll be so happy.
Yeah, seriously. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Care.
Welcome to the 21st century.
Thank
it's
you.
Gonna be
I
great.
Never thought we'd see the 21st century. So I'm so excited. All right, why don't you talk about Kentucky Performance Products? We're going to see Karen next week, actually, so we're excited about that as well.
When your horse loses significant amounts of electrolytes and fluids as they sweat, problems such as dehydration, muscle cramping, fatigue, tying up, and colic may occur. Even in mild forms, these conditions can have negative impact on your horse's ability to perform and recover after exercise. Research shows that electrolytes help regulate nerve and muscle function and maintain a healthy fluid balance. Summer Games Electrolyte is formulated to replenish electrolytes and trace minerals that are lost when your horse sweats, regardless of the season. It also stimulates the thirst response so he continues to drink and stay properly hydrated. For more information, visit kppusa.com, kppusa.com.
Do you remember why she developed that? Do you remember what it was developed for?
Yeah, it's weird. It's full circle because our next guest, we're going to talk to a little bit about her time in the Atlanta Olympics.
That's right. That's correct. So we are going to meet Roxanne Durant. She is co-founder and executive director of the Interscholastic Equestrian Association, the IEA, and she's one of my fellow candidates for the 2026 Equine Industry Vision Award. Roxanne, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And congratulations on being nominated for the Equine Industry Visionary Award.
Thank you so much. It is an honor to be nominated alongside a great group of folks.
You know, it's like the Lifetime Achievement Award in our world, right? I mean,
yes.
Kind of like that for the Oscars, only this is our little world of it. and you deserve it because, what was it, 2002, you started the Interscholastic Equestrian Association?
Yes. Yep. We started. We are the upcoming year, which, you know, the 26-27 year, which for us starts July 1st, will be our 25th anniversary year. Yay. So 24 years ago, we started the IEA.
You know, when I started Horse Radio Network in 2008, I hoped and dreamed I would be around now. Did you think you would be, or?
I'm not sure that I expected that. I'm not sure that the initial dream was that we really thought we'd be something this big and this long lasting. Certainly it was a hope, and we started out to be really a feeder system to the college programs and to get students in the middle school and high school levels ready for draw-based riding in college, because that's what they were going to encounter. And what we're finding is that the riders of that age group, when they were going into colleges, they were intimidated by that format, that most of their riding had been on their own horse or a lease horse or a horse they were familiar with. And the idea of going to a horse show and drawing a horse's name out of a hat effectively and hopping on and showing it was just overwhelming to them. They weren't prepared for that idea. So we were losing a lot of kids at that point when it's time to, you know, keep going in college, but do some things a little bit differently. And we were losing kids out of the industry at that point. So we thought it was a really good idea to prepare them better. I was working at a high school at the time that had just built the Taj Mahal of an equestrian center. And I thought, you know, if we're a high school and the whole theme of this school is college prep, we ought to prepare these kids for that format of riding so they're not intimidated and they do want to keep riding when they get to college.
How hard was it in those early years to convince high schools to do a program like this when most years high schools are looking to cut budget?
Yeah, it was. That's a really interesting question, because we thought we would head down the path just like the colleges do and just say, oh, you know, your college will join us and we'll have teams that, you know, it would be similar at the high school level, that we would have schools join us and all that. But what we found is that, and we tried to make it super simple, like we just needed anybody in your school district to sign the form. Like if the janitor signed it, I think we would have been okay with that. So, but the schools themselves started waving, oh, liability, horses, that's scary, that's dangerous. We can't possibly align ourselves with horses.
But we'll allow football, right?
I always think, yeah, but what about all those football players? But yeah, so we kind of went in through the back door and decided, well, if they're not going to invite us in, we're going to make them want to have us in there. And so we went around the other way and said, instead of having specific school affiliations in that school affiliations would still be great. And actually the IEA was founded on a small group of private schools that started out, you know, sort of started the experiment, but the public schools, you know, it didn't have to be school affiliated. It could just be barn affiliated and lesson program affiliated. And then we figured, you know, once these kids start getting noticed and getting college scholarships and getting into schools they weren't getting in otherwise because of their riding, then the schools will be more interested. And I can't say we've we've finished that mission, but we do have a lot more schools now that either allow some teams or that at least recognize their riders and are including them in their sports banquets and things like that, and acknowledging them as athletes and part of the school.
When I was in school, and I know Jamie and I have discussed this too over the years, when I was in high school, the horse kids were picked on mercilessly, and I lived in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Being a horse girl in Atlanta, Georgia was so easy, Glenn. Like, I mean,
well, that's where I was a horse girl in Atlanta, Georgia, too. So
seriously?
Yeah. Really? Yeah. I grew up in Atlanta. Mm-hmm.
Where did you ride?
I rode at Westminster Stables as part of the Westminster School back when there was a barn there and not before it became a soccer field.
I went to camp at Westminster. Okay.
Oh, I was probably your counselor.
And then I grew up riding in Decatur, Little Creek Farms.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Competed at Wills Park. Everybody went to Wills Park for horse shows up in Alpharetta. Oh, my gosh. Small world. See,
yeah. I lived in that circle.
Look at what I could have done, Glenn.
Yeah. Look what you could have accomplished instead. You're
and
working
here I am.
So did you ever dream? Did I read that you're up to 14,000 members now? Is that?
Yes. Wow. Yes. Yes. And yeah, we've got members all over the country too. And yeah, about 1,000. We put on almost 1,000 horse shows a year.
Wow.
Between upper school, middle school. And yeah, we've got a lot going on out there. And it's, you know, it's really based on the idea that all of our members are part of a community that hosts these events. So if you're joining IEA, you're expected to, I think of it like a potluck dinner. Like, you know, some days we're going to have the potluck dinner at my house and I'll provide the facility and the tables and the chairs and the main meal, but I really need you guys to bring some food too. And so the horse shows are like that. Like, you know, maybe it's your day to host the horse show, but I will bring some horses to your show and you bring a few to mine.
Are all the horses, that's a good question. Are all the horses provided locally? Is that how it works? Or are they're not owned by the schools or the clubs or anything, right?
It depends. So for the schools, like the private schools usually do own their horses and their riding academies, that those do. But the premise is that, you know, if you're in a lesson program, you're riding horses somewhere, right? So the premise is that you are sharing your resources with other members in your area. And IEA is broken down into regions and zones, depending on where you live. You know, a region is probably within a state, and a zone might be like a multi-state area. So here in Ohio, we have, I think, 12 regions. So it's like Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, maybe another state or two in there that is broken up into regions. So it's pretty easy for each of those regions to get together. And there's approximately 12, up to about 12 in each region. So they're expected, those 12 in the region are expected to host all of their regular shows together and all take turns having horse shows and grouping together to have horse shows. You know, two or three at a time can host a show. And then the kids will ride through five regular season horse shows. And that would then ultimately the top riders would qualify for regional finals. From there, they qualify on to zone finals. And ultimately, the top riders in the zone would move on to our national finals. And we just completed our hunt, seat, and dressage national finals about a week ago. And our Western finals is coming up. It will be part of the Paint Horse World Show later in June.
That's another thing. A couple things here. One is you do three different disciplines now?
Yes, yes. We do hunt seat. Our original basis is in hunt seat because that's my original background. So we started with what I knew.
Right.
And then we grew by adding Western around. So probably 2006, I think, was our first year of having a little bit of Western. And then dressage, we added, gosh, it seems like it was, that's our newest discipline, but it's not really that new anymore. I guess we've been doing dressage about 6 years now.
You know, there's many reasons I think this is brilliant, but two in particular. One is, you know, things have changed a little over time since you started this. And that is every association we talk to now on this show, the one biggest hurdle they have is getting kids into it now. There's less and less kids joining, so they're aging out, right? Their associations are aging out. And I don't care which one we talk to. You're there providing a way for kids to actually do this, to make it affordable, to get them interested in horses. And that's more important now than even when you started.
Yes. Yeah, I think it is. I do hear there's some statistics about, you know, birth rates and all that have changed significantly in the last 10 years. So youth in general, they're fewer and the way they're scattered around the country has changed. But also there's so many demands on the current youth and so many opportunities, so many things to get involved
and
with.
So many video games. If I had this number of video games when I was a kid, I would have done nothing. I would have,
would have never left the house.
Exactly.
Yeah. I would have definitely left to go to the barn for sure. So
same.
Yeah. Don't need any video games at all. Thanks.
You know, I look at kids' sports now, you know, and if you want to be a soccer player, you have to start at like 8 years old. Same with baseball. Same with they now, you know, when I was a kid, it was like spring, we would play soccer. And then in the fall, it was baseball or what, yeah. You know what I mean? Like everything at a season. Now it's like these kids have to focus
on one
thing, pick one. And that's what we're doing,
yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, horses would have been my pick, but I don't know. My parents would have picked them.
Right. Yeah, my parents knew nothing about horses, so yeah,
I
just bugged them till they let me go. But yeah,
and that's what you have to do.
Pressure. There's a lot of pressure on the kids. There's a lot of opportunities and different things competing for their time and attention. So, you know, we at the very least want to give them an opportunity. You know, it's hard if a parent has to say, "Well, the only way to try riding is we have to go buy a horse." That's not a good way to start. So it's nice that, you know, our goal is to give them a way to start riding, to see some competitive options, to kind of stick your toe in the water without jumping in and bought a horse and now it was a bad experience and going down the wrong path. So to kind of grow into the industry at a lower level and try out competition and kind of grow into that. And then if they can get more and more involved. If this is all they can do because of time or resources or funding, then they can still have a lot of equestrian opportunities just through the IEA.
The other thing that I thought that you mentioned, and we hear this all the time from professional riders we have on, and, you know, they for advice for teenagers, and the advice they always give is ride as many horses, different horses as you can. And you provide that right there, too.
Yes. There's two things that are really particularly different for IEA than traditional riding and showing. And one is that draw-based format. You're riding a different horse all the time. So you've got to learn that. You go home, you know, after the horse show, when you had a hard time with the slow horse, you realize you've got to go home and do some more work on your legs, more riding without stirrups, right? And the other thing that's particularly different is the team aspect. So riding is traditionally just me against you. But when we get into the IEA format, which is also similar to the collegiate formats, then you're riding as a team and your walk trot rider is bringing in just as many points as your open rider. And so there's a lot more camaraderie. There's a different kind of pressure when you're riding for all these other people in addition to just trying to do your best. And adding the team aspect to it is, I think, a lot of that and the horsemanship, you know, learning new aspects of horsemanship and riding other horses is a reason that a lot of riders will stay involved with IEA, even if they do go on to buy their own horse and lease their own horse and they're showing in other ways, that it's still an aspect in IEA that they're not getting otherwise through traditional showing.
Where can people find out if there's something near them?
Our website has all the info, and the website is rideiea.org. And on there, too, is our phone number and everything if you wanted to call and talk to somebody or if you want to just dig around on our site. But our site we have an interactive map on that that's super helpful. So if you're looking for a team, you can go onto that map, you know, pick the discipline you're interested in, go onto that map, and then you can zoom on in to, you know, like, oh, I live in Ohio. I'm going to zoom in and see where's a team near me. and you could zoom on in and see where teams already exist. Certainly also possible to start a new team. Like if your farm is interested and you can, and your coach is willing to start a team, then they can just give us a call and we'll hold their hand and talk them through the process of getting involved. So, but everything is there on the website. Probably the best thing, like I said, is zero in on where the teams are in your area. And then you can join an existing team or you can connect your coach to some teams that are already there. And so your coach can get some more info and join the IEA and start a new team if you wanted to go that route.
That sounds fantastic. We appreciate you being on. Congratulations again. There was one other thing I read I wanted to ask you about, completely unrelated. Did I read that you worked at the 96 Atlanta Olympics?
Yes.
What'd you do?
That was super fun. I had two jobs there. I worked in athlete services, which basically meant I worked in the cafeteria, but it was really fun because all the riders from all over the world were coming in there and hanging out in their off time. And there were video games in there. They would come in and play video games and during their lunch break and whatever. So saw them there during their downtime. And then I also worked the in gate during the jumper classes, so at the Olympics. So most horse shows will have a single warm-up area, and then the horses go from the warm-up area right into the arena. But there at the Atlanta Olympics, they had multiple rings where they would warm up, like you would, you know, come out and just stretch and loosen and walk around a little in ring one. And then from ring one, you would move to ring two, where you would do your flat work, and then ring three, where you could jump, and then a final ring where you jumped your biggest jumps right before you went in the show ring. So There were like five or six rotations of in gate needed there. And so I worked any one of those. And of course the best day was the day you got to work at the actual, you know, Olympic arena and just call the horses on into the ring from the warm-up area and all that. So it was fun.
That is
a lot of levels of meeting people and seeing people and being involved. And I thought it was the coolest experience. Everybody in Atlanta during those weeks was there for the Olympics. It was just a really cool experience.
I was going to say, it was like the coolest thing to have that in your city. Like, it was just awesome.
Yeah. Everybody, we had all these necklaces that had your credentials of where you could go. And because I had the two jobs and equestrian, I could go basically anywhere in all the equestrian venues. So, but everybody walking around town had necklaces, and, you know, you'd get on the train to drive across town and be like, what are you here to see? Oh, I'm here for volleyball. Oh, I'm here for golf. I'm here for, you know, was golf in it then? I don't know if golf was in it then, but
ping pong,
ball, track, those things. Yeah. So
yeah, are you signed up now for the next Olympics?
No, I'm not. I'm not. It was great when it was in Atlanta. I didn't live in Atlanta anymore at the time, but my parents did. It's very hard to get a place to stay. So I stayed at my parents' house, and then I could just drive over there every day to work.
Well, Roxanne, it's been a delight having you on. We really appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's nice to talk with you.
This episode is sponsored by Farnam and their new fly spray for horses, Endure Gold Killer Fly and Mosquito Control. Get ready to discover fly protection redefined. Endure Gold is made to annihilate flies, ticks, and mosquitoes.
Bam.
I mean, annihilate. That is like so word. Intense language. It features brand new EPA-approved ingredients never before seen in equine care. This powerful spray is backed by science and built for hard work. It delivers fast knockdown and up to 14 days of fly protection. It's time to upgrade your fly control rotation. Add Endure Gold to your arsenal today.
Well, on this day in equine history, I'm doing in chronological order, so you just relax, you're good.
Don't hurt my brain.
During the chaotic Battle of Chancellorsville in the American Civil War in the May of 1863, Confederate General Thomas Stonewall Jackson was scouting ahead of his lines in the dark. And he was riding his sturdy and beloved Morgan horse, Little Sorrel. In the confusion, Jackson was accidentally shot by his own troops in the leg and later died of complications from his wounds. Following his death, though, Little Sorrel was shipped back to marry Anna Jackson, his wife, and she sent him to live with the family in Lincoln County, North Carolina. He spent several years post-war just grazing and living a quiet life, but Stonewall Jackson was quite a thing back then, and he was very famous even after death. So what ended up happening is they took Little Sorrel out of retirement, and he became a celebrity. He was paraded through agricultural exhibitions, county fairs, veterans reunions to help raise funds for memorial projects. He basically became his own celebrity, so much to the point where people used to sneak into his stall at night and take little pieces of his mane and tail out as souvenirs.
Oh, weird.
To the point where they had to put guards on his stall because he was like had no forelock left. So they had to guard him.
That's
because
crazy.
People were stealing his hair. He lived to be 36 years old. And you can see him today, Jamie. You can head on over to the Virginia Military Institute. By the way, Jennifer's stepdad went there in Lexington, Virginia. And you can see him stuffed there. He's stuffed. And you can visit Little Sorrel on display.
That's crazy. I just saw a story about Trigger.
Oh, yeah.
Being stuffed at Roy Rogers Museum. And where is it? You find out where that is, because they actually did not just stuff Trigger. They stuffed Trigger, Buttermilk, Dale Evans' horse, and Bullet, their dog. And they're all like stuffed next to each other. And apparently that's a thing everybody else knew. But I was like, what?
I have seen one or two stuffed horses in museums over the years. And I got to tell you, they're just creepy. Just creepy.
I saw one in Ireland. I was like, oh.
They just never look good 200 years later. Moving on, before motorized fire engines, how did they pull the fire engines around the city, Jamie?
I would assume horses, Glenn.
That's correct, draft horses. And in the May of 1903, the Great Falls Tribune in Montana reported a dire situation. The local fire department couldn't find a suitable horse anywhere because the British Army had just bought up all the draft horses across the country for the use in the Boer War. And they were short on draft horses. So they put an ad in a paper and said, look, we need a horse. And somebody donated a horse, or actually they purchased it, but somebody gave him this horse named Dewey. It was a white horse, a big draft horse, who became a local legend, saving lives and serving the fire department for 17 years. Up to the age of 26, that horse pulled the fire truck.
Bless it.
Now, he was so popular that usually in those days, there were workhorses, right? They would send the retired fire horses off to like pull a milk wagon or something. But they didn't want to do that with Dewey because he had done his work. So they had a big party and a retirement feast in his honor, and then they sent him out to pasture, and he stayed in out to pasture till he died. So good job, Dewey.
And 26 for a draft horse is intense.
Old. Yeah. That's old. Next one we talked about recently. Scottish folklore is steeped in the legend of the Kelpie. We talked about that recently. We had the Kelpie sculpture designer on. Andy Scott was on the show back in March, on March the 9th. But this is interesting because it's been a legend for eons, the Kelpie, a mythical shape-shifting water horse that was said to inhabit lochs and rivers. But in May of 1933, the Inverness Courier published the very first modern media report of a massive splashing beast in a local body of water. And the local body of water was Loch Ness. In May, citing ignited a global phenomenon. It was this article that started the whole Loch Ness monster thing. And it became this huge thing through time, still is today. People still go to Loch Ness to find the monster. But that all started with an article in the Inverness Courier. And it was because this guy and his wife, there was a new road built near the loch. And this guy and his wife were out for a drive in 1933 in their old-fashioned car, putting along, and he swore he saw the Kelpie in the middle of the lake. He told the reporter at the Inverness Courier. They published it as, you know, this really happened. It must be out there. And that's what started this massive thing from then till now.
Is that the guy that took the picture?
I don't know if he's the one that took the picture or not. I don't know that. Don't know. Don't have an arrest of the story. I'm sorry.
I'm going to do some follow up. Okay.
All right. Sounds good. And while you're doing that, let's do this.
He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. horse trading.
Well, okay, right. I got some information for you. Okay, so the guy you were just talking about in 1933, his name was Hugh Gray.
That's it, yep.
And he is the one who took that that picture of the Loch Ness
Monster.
The really
grainy black and white picture, yeah.
Yes, where it looks like a Barontosaurus coming out of the water. So it says the most famous iconic issues was later taken on April 21st, 1934. So that guy thought, I'm going to get a better picture. His name is Dr. Robert Kenneth Wilson.
Okay.
So there you go.
There we go.
Now that one was exposed as a hoax in 1994, though.
Okay.
But Hughes wasn't. It's still there.
Well, thank you, Hugh, for bringing a legend to life. And we now have two big horse heads because of it. So,
yeah.
All right, it's time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when listeners submit ads from Craigslist or Facebook, and we have a little bit of fun with them. We give away prizes every month, but you know what? Because we have the rest of the month doing special programming, we're going to start new prizes in June. I don't know what they are yet. I know what one of them is. Maybe I'll bring a sled dog home from Alaska, and we'll give that away. What do you think?
That seems like a reasonable thing to pack.
Maybe we'll do that. But we don't have time to get to them all. So Lucy, Susan, Janelle, and Amanda, you're going to be in the drawing for the next prizes. But thank you for submitting. We appreciate it. Tegan sent this one in from the Mini Horse and Pony Networking page. There is a page for everything. ISO Free Mini. Oh, they're looking for a free mini. And yes, all Karens and Chads, I'm aware of what animals cost.
I don't like that at all.
Is it a thing now, Chad? Is it Chads?
Some people are trying to make it happen, but it's not really getting the traction, except for people like this.
Does it bother you, Jamie, that you're married to a Chad?
Thank God my name's not Karen.
Oh, God, that'd be awful, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
In Central Louisiana, ISO, any mini that can pull a cart. I'm not concerned with the age or gender of the mini. The only thing to consider is if the horse has a cough in the summer, as I can't dry lot them, and they will live as any horse on pasture with two geriatric donkey geldings as pasture mates. I can provide a vet reference. I trim my own, so I'd need a farrier, chiropractor, and any other reference. Wait a minute. I can provide... Okay, this reads different than I thought.
Focus on this one.
I can provide a vet reference. I trim my own, so I'd need you.
Nope.
No, so you need a farrier, chiropractor, or any other reference. Kindly F off.
What?
I don't even understand what that sentence means. I will add my standard donkey is 30 plus years old and lives with a 12 to 17 year old mini. Please PM. I'm sure this post will bring out the worst in people. I would love to read the comments on this post.
Man, okay, those are ones we want the comments.
It's a very particular request for a free horse, isn't it? It's very particular.
And I guarantee that I'm going to get this horse laminitis. So here you go.
I know. That was the other thing that jumped
Bring
out.
It on in. We're going to stick it in the pasture. The next one,
By the
I
way,
found
is
this
there
one.
A mini that's not at a risk for laminitis?
I know. That's why they're supposed to be dry lotted. I found this one. Horses for sale in Oklahoma. The picture is a very beautiful black horse. The ad is I have for no punctuation. Well, there's some commas. I have for sale a 2-year-old Willander foal ready to ride. Him to his liking, gentle, zero tomorrows, located in Dallas.
Is he dead? What does zero tomorrows mean?
I have for sale a 2-year-old Warlander foal. First of all, a 2-year-old's not foal. So is it a foal or is it a 2-year-old? And by the way, that's not ready to ride. Like, don't ride that, okay? And then zero tomorrows. So if you do ride it, you will die. That's what I got out of it.
I think they meant to say Wallander, right? Not Warlander.
They meant to say Warlander, which is a Frisian Andalusian cross.
Okay, that was...
But they didn't even get that part right.
Okay, Wallander. Zero tomorrows. The horse is dead, or will be dead by tomorrow, so come get it
or
today.
Or you will be dead, yeah.
I don't know.
There will be no tomorrow. That's so ominous.
Jessica sent the next one. This is a long one. Pacific Northwest Equine. That's the name of the page. For sale. Clio, the world's most low-maintenance fiberglass quarter horse gelding. Do you still have yours?
Yes.
Yeah?
Steve.
Steve's still around. Yeah.
Steve's still around. Well, although the son has taken all his hair off. He has no mane or tail left.
Are you sure it isn't his fans have been plucking him out at night in the barn?
That's probably what happened. Yeah.
Meet Cleo, 15.1 hands of pure reliability and zero nonsense. Chestnut with four white socks and a blaze, basically the Pinterest horse you never have to brush. Wears a 76-inch blanket like a gentleman. No kick, no bite, no spook ever. Easy keeper, thrives on absolutely nothing. Bomb-proof, like statue-level bomb-proof. Stands for Farrier Vet Kids Chaos. No bite, no kick, no drama. Previously employed as the anatomy instructor for tiny humans. Soundness. Retired due to a small old left front injury, but still 100% sound for standing around looking fabulous. Did they break his leg off at one point? I don't know. People who love horses but hate vet bills. This is who it's perfect for. Kids who want to learn about without getting launched into orbit. Anyone tired of feeding $300 a month in hay. Quirks. Wind is his greatest enemy. Is that yours greatest enemy too? Wind?
So we had to drill like 2x6s. Like we cut him. And so we drilled his hooves into the 2x6s so he wouldn't blow over. So he's actually like 5 feet wide on the boards that are holding his feet up. And so there's a top board at his front feet and a bottom board on his front. Okay, we did some farrier work. Yeah.
Strong gusts may result in him taking a nap in the pasture. On occasion, concerned neighbors have reported a down horse. Rest assured, he's just embracing the elements. He does have bolts in his feet that fasten into wood or concrete.
See, that's where I got that idea. Because this is the exact same one that they have at Monty's. His name is Plasmo. And so I wanted to get my own Plasmo, but I couldn't find one. I actually want this one because my Steve is like so tall. And anybody who's tried to bridle him, you have to like stand on your tippy toes.
He's 16 hands or something?
So he was supposed to be 15'2", but the problem is he did not grow. But when you put him on boards, he gets even taller. And his withers may be 15'2", but his face and his ears are 6.5 feet tall, maybe 7 feet tall. The way he's
bridle him.
He's at alert. He's at attention.
This is very cute. And if you live in Polesbow, Washington, you can pick him up today. Did they say how much? No, there was no price.
But remember, Steve came to me. I found him outside of Dallas because I've been looking for a Steve. I found him outside of Dallas. I'll post a picture of him. I'll send you a picture of him later. Okay. I found him outside of Dallas. And Chad had to go get him in the pickup truck and he had to bring Steve home. However, Steve, he didn't have any boards on his feet. He couldn't stand him up. So he had to lay him down on his head. So Chad drove from Dallas all the way here with four legs up in the air. He couldn't stand him up. He had to lay him down. And literally one police officer got next to him and was like looking. People at the gas station came running up. Like,
there were so many accidents that day on the highway.
I know, but it was a dead horse. So that's cool. Susie sent the next one in, 1993 unknown horse. Okay. Oh, I am not sure the real year of this trailer. It does have some rest and dings and dicks.
What? Oh, I think they meant to say dinks.
They probably meant to say
dinks.
Nicks. But they did not say Nick's. I do not have the title that came out of Ohio, Ohio. Trailers don't have titles.
Oh, yeah, they do. They do here.
Yeah, they do. I do have the paperwork to file for an Indiana title if you live in Indiana and the price is $900. If I start fixing and repairing, then I will raise the price. But I will wait a couple of weeks to see if anyone's interested, as it does have rust, but it will work to pull a cow, horse, a pig or goat, whatever it is you want it for.
Oh my God, there's a bigger picture down below. Okay, it's one of your standard round-fronted two-horse trailers. And have is a little rust. It's an understatement. The roof is about to cave in from the rust. And there's no doors or windows. Those are gone a long time ago. The hitch, do you see the direction the hitch is bent at about a 45-degree angle?
Oh, my gosh. The hitch is pointing to the far left.
You're not going to get that to work. It does appear, I don't know, you can't see the bottom of the tires, so we don't know if they have air. And there's something wrapped in a big tarp in the middle
there's
of the
a dead body in there.
You know it's a dead body.
Why would you wrap something up in the tarp if you get in the trailer?
Worse, do you see what's right behind it? Oh, there's a freezer on the ground.
Right, oh, behind that's going to be bad. There's garbage all around this. I will say that the miraculous thing is the window in the front is not broken. Oh, there yeah, you go.
You're right. The only thing that's not broken.
That never happens.
I love the fact that he was saying, I'm going to fix this up and it'll be worth more. No, you're not. It's been sitting there for 50 years. You're not fixing
this. The seam is actually busted. Like the one that goes across the front, which separates the top and bottom. There's a seam. Like this whole top could come off. So don't do it. Don't buy this.
I like he said cow horse because you can't put any other kind of horse in there. It's not allowed. Only a cow horse. Julia sent this one in. This is an Arkansas. Arkansas Nags, 1500 and under. Beautiful 7-year-old Arab horse. Two eggs. Two egg emojis. What are the two?
What is emojis? That emoji egg? What is an egg? Why oh, maybe.
Two eggs, very good. I know mental change for something of... Oh my God, these ads today. Beautiful 7-year-old Arab horse. Two eggs. Very good. I know mental change for something of my liking. I have located in Roger, Arkansas. Only interested people. The horse is meek and tastes like a saddle.
Whoa!
This is screenshotted. It actually says it. The horse tastes like a saddle. What the? I don't understand cool any of that ad. The... Are they selling or buying one? I don't know.
I don't know. And why the eggs? Is that testicles? Does that mean he's got huevos? Which is what? I don't know. You know what? I don't know. It's terrible.
These ads today do have a theme, is we just don't understand them at all.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
That was a hard one to read.
What did you say? I didn't get that. This is from Horses for Sale in South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia. You know what? Oh my gosh. Look at the name of the person who posted this. Positive Dolphin. Okay. Doesn't hurt to ask, would anyone be interested in trading a whole turnkey business for a good solid horse? What?
What's the business?
Private, so I don't get scammed, but it's everything you would need to start your own printing and designing business. Sublimination, printer, Cricut, heat press, shirts, freshies, keychains, cups, and so much more. Tons of printed prints. Already koozies, display shelf, and well over $1,000 in stuff.
Okay. This guy was in the printing business, printing stuff on shirts, and he can't spell any of these words.
No.
This is why he wants to get rid of the printing business, because he kept screwing up the shirts.
You're going to get a whole lot of shirts and like koozies and stuff with things that are misspelled. Yeah.
Like Georgia spelled wrong, South Carolina spelled wrong.
Exactly. Oh my God. And they just want a horse. Yeah, so you know what? I'm good.
A failed printing business for a horse. Sarah sent this one in. You know what? But his name was Positive Dolphin. He came into this with a positive thought that somebody was going to actually do this.
Sometimes that's just that just pulls up when you post something anonymous.
Yeah, because sometimes you show up on my page here as something different too. Like
really?
Like Wacky Turtle or something. Yeah.
I don't post anything anonymous.
No, on our page, on our show notes page, you show up on the top as something other than yourself sometimes.
I show up as Wacky Turkey.
Yeah, Wacky Turkey. Wacky Turtle was the one day. They have really funny names. Okay, the next one is sent by
that's weird.
Sarah. Ann Arbor area horse people. We're in the north a lot today. Tiny Chaos Gremlin Kitten Edition. I know the barns are basically running a buy hay, get 6 kittens free promotion right now, so I'm putting out feelers. Ideally orange for maximum nonsense, but I'm open to any model that is cute, healthy, and mildly unhinged. Before anyone asks, yes, I'm checking shelters. Yes, I understand. This is a 10 to 20 year commitment. Yes, I will be happy to pay for an adoption fee for a pre-vetted fuzzball. I am a responsible adult with questionable judgment when it comes to adorable faces. Important. I already have one young, playful cat who is currently forced to commit all crimes solo. She needs a partner in crime to help knock my water off the nightstand every single night like it's their job. Please send pics, location, and any known criminal history. Thanks. Okay, that was a cute ad, actually.
That was a good ad.
You know, we have talked about the two cats we got from the shelter here at the barn. Barn cats, they live outside because I don't want cats in the house. And they're still here. They are the best cats I think we've ever had. They hang around. They play all day. They run around the farm. We haven't seen a mouse since they got here. Good kitties. So our kitties are doing good. So Graham and Crackers, they're both good.
You know, I keep getting barn cats from my shelter because the problem is, like, if you go to adopt a cat at like a humane society, they won't let you have it if you tell them you're going to keep it outside in the barn.
It's
just they won't.
Levy County, Florida. They don't give a crap.
Really? But here they wouldn't. I mean, I went to the shelter in Oklahoma City and tried to the Humane Society and they wouldn't let me have one. But the animal shelter here has a, down here, Norman has a barn cat program. And so you can get, they're basically just completely wild cats that somebody has captured and brought them in, and then they've neutered them and got them vaccines and a microchip, and then they let them go to barns. So that I've had probably six that have come here and they're gone. Like I see them occasionally when I'm driving in, because I ended up getting a white one. I see it occasionally driving in as my lights crest over it while it's running down the pasture, you know. I'm like, oh, there's the cat.
Do you think coyotes are a problem?
I don't know. Coyotes. I mean, I still see the cats.
Oh, you see them? They're still there, huh?
Yeah, I still see them occasionally, but not like, I think one's living under my hay barn. You just never know.
Well, they're not doing a good job of keeping the snakes out of the barn, are they?
Nope. You know? They're dicks. I need more. I need Graham and crackers.
Yeah, we'll send them over. They'll get rid of those snakes. Apparently not. You know, oh, I got to tell you a follow up on the snake story. He says, I'll tell in the post show because that's where we talked about it. I have a follow-up.
You know what? We have a snake in the roof of our barn. It's up on the top of the door. And do you know that it is still there? It is still there. I'm like, at least get to work.
Do something.
God. All right,
last one.
It's
eating all your chicken eggs is what it's doing.
It's just helping itself to nothing. Just whatever it probably shouldn't have. Okay, horses for sale in Oklahoma. God, I love this Facebook page. And I love it for reasons like this. The last one I read was also from that page. So here we go. This is from Hannah May. Hannah May. Need these two gone. And it's a picture of one horse. We'll make a deal if they go together. First one is a 18-year-old mare, 14.2/14.3 HH gentle. For anyone, can be intimidating to beginners because she does walk fast. She occasionally lamps on hard surfaces. She had an abscess and is now just getting...
Lamping. What is lamping?
I mean, obviously, we don't know. I'm not going to tell you. She had an abscess and is just now getting over it. All capital letters. Second one is a 17-year-old gelding stand, 16+ HH. Haven't exactly measured him. He does have some scarring on his front leg due to a fence. Injury doesn't affect him at all. He is not for beginners. He likes to act some type of way when he's feeling good. Both of them are great, and they both had their teeth done 2 months ago. Current deworming. I can meet you. I don't want to meet you. I'm sorry. He likes to act some type of way. That is so Oklahoma. You know what he did? He acted some type of way. Okay. That's a thing, I think, here. God, Glenn, you should be acting some type of way.
The ads today are just something else. You guys found a good match this week. Oh, my God.
She lamps some kind of way.
I didn't understand most of the ads today. I really didn't. And they were very difficult to read.
Except for the kitten one.
I was really afraid when spell checking and AI started helping on your phone when you're writing things, you know, and fixing all of your punctuation and stuff. I was afraid we'd be out of business. We wouldn't have any more.
No,
ads.
No, we're good.
Apparently we're good for a while.
We're good. People just come up with dumber ways to post things on the internet.
All right, that's it for today. As I said earlier in the show, we have a whole bunch of good programming for you, so hope you take a listen to the shows the rest of the month. The Tuesday and Thursday episodes are all brand new as well. We've been working hard over the last 2 months to make these happen, so I hope you appreciate it.
I'm concerned. Can I just voice my concern to you?
Yeah, what's your concern?
Okay, so I've been, you know, seeing doctors regarding hormones and trying to get my life together at this age that I'm at. And one of the...
60s are tough, aren't they, Jamie?
Oh, God, be a woman in your 40s. Shut up. So I'm having all this going on. And like, I will tell you that most of this podcast, I do it in lieu of therapy. You know what I mean? Like I talk to you, like you're my therapist, knowing that there's other people that are going to gauge my craziness. Right. And like, you've told me I can't go to therapy for a month. I think I need to find a meeting. I don't know what to do. What am I going to do?
Podcasters Anonymous, PA.
Oh, I think BetterHelp. Why haven't they called?
All right. Well, maybe the listeners will keep you company. Well,
I'm worried sick. Y'all reach out. I'm worried sick about me.
She did say to me, she said, you know, when do we come back? And I said, well, June 1st, Monday, June 1st is going to be our first day back. She said, you better text me because I won't show up. So
I might not be. Yeah. Well, first of all, remind me, because by then I'll have forgotten I even do this job.
Hang on, auditors. We're going to talk a little about some things we came across that in the financial world that were a little iffy. So we're going to talk about that in the post show.
Spay, neuter, geld.
Have a good month, everybody.
Butters got looked at by the vet yesterday, and his lack of balls are healing nice.
And our Alaska friends, we'll see you in a couple of weeks.